This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, my name is Chris Banky. I'm going to be your host today, and I've got with us in our studio with me, Scott Flora. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. I'm super excited about today. You know why?
Why?
Because we have unbelievable guests that we're going to get to talk to today about one of the most important topics, I think, right now facing the church and just everything that's happening in the world. A little bit crazy. We've got with us, we've got Brian Barcelona, we've got David Bradshaw and Ty Lamb all joining us right now. And excited to have you guys. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Grateful.
So good.
Good. Awesome. They are joining us from literally all over the place. Actually, where are you guys? Brian, where are you at right now?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Come on. Come on, Texas. David, you're in Virginia, right?
I am. Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Awesome. Ty, where are you coming to us from?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, so we're spread out. We're like around the country. Check
we're
that
only,
out.
Only missing
we're,
the mountain
we're,
zone.
We're coming from. We're missing the mountain zone. Who can we get on real quick to represent? We're coming from the Pacific Northwest as well, so we're kind of spread out. It's awesome technology allowing us to do this. We want to get into something I think that is really, really important, and that is talking about Gen Z and the topic of revival. And I think with you guys on this podcast, who we've got on with us right now, we've got the people that really know that are really doing it. I'd love to just start right off and go to you, Brian, and if you could just give us a little overview of what you and your ministry are doing, because I think what you guys are doing is really making some significant inroads to Gen Z, and I think that it's very important that other people know about it and hear from you. Just so you guys understand, if you're listening, Gen Z, I believe, is everyone that's roughly 12 to 26 right now. Is that, Brian, is that true? Is that the right age range?
That sounds about accurate.
Okay. So we're talking about the young people that are starting to become very powerful and influencer and entering the workforce. And they're also tomorrow's, you know, world changers. They're the people that are going to be running everything real shortly. So Brian, can you give us a little bit of an overview about you and your ministry and what you guys are doing?
Yeah. I mean, for 12 years, we've preached in high schools all over the country. And like most people, when 2020 happened, COVID happened, shifted us greatly. And we were kind of left at a crossroads of either we will pivot or we will die as a movement. And so we just pivoted, digitally and, started going after seeing young people reached in the digital space. Started off in July with not a big following on our Jesus Club page. I think on Instagram we had 1,000 and we had zero on TikTok, which I think TikTok's up to, I think it's 2 billion downloads right now.
Wow. 2 billion downloads. Wow.
2 billion downloads. So we, we just started preaching on TikTok, and I think we just hit over 655,000 followers on TikTok. We're growing at about 150,000 a month right now.
Wow.
And then that's equated to about, 8 million views a month. And then we have, can you also hear me?
Yeah.
And then we have other platforms, Instagram and those sort of things. So we're just plowing heavy digitally.
Yeah, that is awesome. We talked about this a little bit in the pre-show. I'd actually love to hear your thoughts. We were joking around about it, but it's actually a real concern. A lot of people are scared of platforms like Instagram and Facebook and even especially TikTok. They've heard a lot of negative things. But, we all joked around about it. I think we all agree on this, but I'd love to hear your heart on using platforms like that to reach people.
Yeah, I know everyone. I think the biggest thing is people always say these platforms are dark, but the only reason why they're dark is because there's no light in it.
Come on.
So, if you want to stay away from an app because you're going to be, you know, you think it's dark or there's demonic stuff, then just don't go to Walmart. Don't go to In-N-Out. Don't go to the grocery store. Just stay in your room and just wait till God comes back. I think that's your best bet. So I think people use that as an excuse because my daughter's waking up. One moment.
No problem. So Ty, you know, I know there's a lot of things that you guys are doing in your ministry also. What have you seen as it relates to Gen Z? Like, what kind of movement are you seeing on your side?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about this past year, and I so appreciate what Brian and One Voice are doing. I mean, I so appreciate just the innovation from going from high schools in person to just really utilizing, you know, the platforms that Gen Z is on. And I think for us, you know, I mean, we're primarily a prayer ministry. And, you know, one of the big pivots for us is really, you know, as we've considered what life looks like on a college campus and how, you know, COVID has so impacted it. I mean, so many campuses are now, you know, closed or in hybrid, not doing in person. And I know things are changing coming up as, you know, vaccinations and other things really become mainstream. But one thing that we know is that for Gen Z, there's a longing for family. There's a longing to belong. There's a longing to really be known and be seen, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, as we've just wrestled through, how do we navigate a time when gathering is austere, when the ability to come together in person is challenged? I mean, the one thing that we know and have seen is that you don't need big and you don't necessarily need, you know, large to be able to build family. And you know, just the significance of really seeing and hearing, you know, young people and really being able to hear their hearts, to minister them where they're at, the need for fathers and mothers to come alongside them in their journey. You know, the thing that we've just been pondering on is small is the new big. And the significance of really stopping for the one, of ministering to the individuals and really going deep with some, you know. I mean, just, you know, I was talking to Billy Humphrey a little while back, and he was just talking about the significance of, you know, the people that really you influence are the ones that you spend time with. You know, it's the ones that you're intentional to wait and pause and listen, hear and love and pastor and minister to, you know, and for so many of these young people, like the longing is family. The longing is to really to be seen, to be heard, to be known, and really to feel like they have value and significance, you know? And so just as we've walked through COVID, I mean, one of our big things is how do we intentionally build family virtually using technology, Zoom, different platforms, and really how do we mitigate a time where so many things are going virtual, but balance that with the reality. You know, I think about Hebrews 10, you know, don't forsake the gathering of the believers. And so we've wrestled with, you know, how to balance and juggle, you know, the opportunities that we have virtually, you know, that we can gather across the country with the very real need, you know, to actually behold one another, you know, to actually look each other in the eyes, you know, as challenging as that is now.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, speaking of the gathering of believers and all that the Lord's doing and creating family and relational connect, Brian, Gen Z for Jesus, and you guys had a gathering yesterday, right? And tell us a little bit about what that gathering was, how many, if you saw any fruit, tell us a little bit about fruit that you guys are seeing in this young adult generation.
Yeah, so it was Saturday, April 3rd. I was not leading this. This was an event led by a guy named Aaron Custolo. He's crushed it, been a part of the ATD family for years. And we're just honored to be working with him. And so he really, you know, looked back and said, hey, Brian, you know, there was a court case that was argued in the 60s on April 3rd. It was Engle versus Vitale. And this was a court case that began the process of kind of getting God out of our schools. So he's like, what if we called youth in America to pray that day? And so we did, it's pretty cool. We were able to stream in our room on YouTube and then bring in a TikTok feed. So we were able to bring in TikTokers from all over the country to pray with this room.
That's awesome.
And we got the numbers today. It was over 40,000 that streamed in that one day. We had tons of people text in, salvations. We preached the gospel.
That's That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I agree with Ty. I don't believe that digital is going to replace in person at all. I think that the digital space, though, has not been tapped into hardly in the way it could be by the church. And I think I'm being guilty of it too. We measure metrics and success when it comes to the numbers by how many people attend the meetings, but the digital space has been very different for us. And I think why that's true is most of us on this call, we didn't grow up with cell phones. We grew up riding our bikes outside, throwing dirt clods at each other, you know, squirt guns, playing outside. Gen Z did not. So I think that we, in my opinion, I'll use myself, I won't say we, me, in my ignorance, I never thought people could connect this way like you could in person. Right. The problem was I didn't understand that Gen Z's only known this. So the way they're wired is they're able to connect emotionally to a screen in ways that my millennial and prior before that, our generations could not. Yeah. If you think about it, I grew up, my dad had a pager, and then from the pager, it went to the Nokia, you know, flip phones, and you were really cool if you had a Razor, Motorola, and it just kind of kept evolving. But I grew up when you would text with something called T9. You might remember, some of you might remember T9. We didn't have emojis. You look at even how Gen Z expresses emotions through a text message. Mm-hmm. So I think the Lord, you know, Lord really spoke to me, and he says, man, if I could shift cities through letters of apostles that had no human interaction, what could I do with videos that would display your face, your emotions, your heart, your tone of voice?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think digital is ever going to replace in person, but I do think it's as important.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, right. I think if you look at Jesus's model when he was doing his ministry, he met people where they were, and he caught a lot of grief from the Pharisees for that. You know, they criticized him, but he met people where they were, and then we just immediately have done the same thing and say, no, we're not going to meet. They need to come where we are. And so I love what you're talking about, because that is going, where are the people? How do I go meet them where they are with this message, with the gospel message? Yeah. And it's ridiculous to not do that. So, I mean, I know people will disagree with that, but why wouldn't we meet people where they are? Why would we force people to try and come to where we are when they don't even know Jesus yet? So I think that that's amazing. David, I want to go to you and hear from your perspective with Awaken the Dawn and what you've been doing with the tents and all the different things. How do you see that tying into reaching Gen Z? I know you're doing a ton in that space already, but what's your take on this as well?
Yeah, I agree with Brian and Ty. I feel like we're at a really amazing and exciting crossroads right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I mean that it's challenging, but it's also – this is an exciting moment for us. You know, Gen Z is in like both a brilliant place of opportunity and also real crisis. I mean, I was just recently read a white paper by a guy named George Otis Jr. who was talking about Gen Z and just trying to get a feel for us. I think it was called Gen Z and Revival. I think he's publishing a book about it. But anyway, he was talking there about just the reality on the ground of what this generation is experiencing. And it is like a remarkable time of transition. You know, I think one of the things he mentioned in there is that 51%, and this is his research, not mine, 51% of Gen Z does not identify or identifies as part or affiliates with the LGBTQ community in some way, or doesn't identify as heterosexual, which is just an interesting dynamic we're experiencing. We've never seen anything like that. There's so much transition going on, but I see this as one of the most brilliant opportunities for the gospel that we have had in many decades. And so we believe that the whole church that needs to pivot, where engaging and reaching Gen Z is central to everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And even modifying. So whether that's online platforms, whether that's how we do gatherings, but probably more than anything, the burden that's in our heart is to declare and to communicate the real Jesus, because that's what's under attack right now more than anything, in my opinion, is who is Jesus? What's he like? What's he saying? You know, and how can we creatively communicate him where kids can come into a real interaction with him, you know, and how can we empower these young voices? So that's what, in our world, that's what we're excited about. It's what we're dreaming about. And I think the tents are interesting. If you don't know what we do, we just bought this 3,000 person tent, and we've seen hundreds of tent gatherings at a time across the nation, many of which on university campuses. And one of the things we're seeing is that there is such a desire for connection and family right now. Yeah. And it's this amazing thing when you get outside of our normal church constructs, you get outside of our environments, and you get where people are, and you make that human connection with them. And then, of course, you put the presence of God right in the middle of that with worship and prayer and gospel proclamation. It is 100% guaranteed that we'll see fruit.
Yeah.
We get out. Like, it's not like, oh, maybe God will do something. No, I think we're way beyond maybe God will do something right now.
Right.
I think it's like, for sure, if we will get out of our little world, and that's what they're doing on TikTok and other places, like with Gen Z for Jesus, we're getting into the environment where Gen Z is relating to one another, and just build that sense of connection, love, and bring the presence of God and the gospel into those environments, guaranteed we'll see fruit. There is so much hunger right now. I don't know if you guys are sensing that. I know I've been watching One Voice, Gen Z for Jesus, Luke 18. I'm just seeing, like, there's so much hunger right now. I believe we're in the early stages of a real deal Jesus movement for a new generation right now going on. Yeah. And we want to get out, whether that's social media. The tents are creative. They're actually good for outdoor gatherings now, because you can gather more safely outside, you know, and so people are drawn to that. But whatever it takes at this point, if we bring the presence of God and the real gospel and authentic connection, we're going to see fruitfulness. Yeah. So that's a lot what's in our heart with these tents is let's get out where people are and let Jesus be Jesus. And man, he is on fire for Jesus. Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, he is burning for this generation. And so I think it's a brilliant time right now.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've been talking about the real Jesus and the real gospel. And I feel that, you know, David or anyone can correct me if I'm wrong here. But I think that our heart behind saying that is that the church has proclaimed the truth without love. This is what it really means to be a Christian. And then this is the truth. And then, but and so the world has found love without truth and has kind of gone away to another gospel where they can feel accepted and loved and appreciated. And so I guess what we're really saying here, and David, speak into this, but I guess what we're really saying is we want truth and love to penetrate hearts and every place where the wounded heart is looking for a place to belong.
Amen. I agree.
Now, I'm thinking of my 19-year-old daughter, and I'm thinking of her being on one of these TikTok feeds or a live thing, and she's experiencing, she's not walking with the Lord, and it was I had a rocky marriage years ago, and how it always goes in the world before you're a Christian, hurting people hurt people, and now my daughter, 19 years old, is looking for love and looking for that place of acceptance, but she's not walking with the Lord, and somehow she stumbles onto this TikTok feed with Gen Z for Jesus and One Voice Student Mission and all of that, or even she finds herself in college and she's at Luke 18 and she finds her way into this digital platform where now she's connecting. How do you guys take the next step from the hurting heart to family connection? What's the next step?
You want to take it, Ty?
Sure. No, I'm just pondering, you know, the moment that we're in, and, you know, I mean, we're in a time where church is being redefined, you know, the idea of, I mean, how do you go to church? How do you belong to church? You know? And I think if there's anything that I'm convinced by is that young people you know, they're longing for authenticity. They don't want to hear a message. You know, I mean, across YouTube, there's so many opportunities to hear, you know, truth and to hear, you know, some very gifted person speak about, you know, Christianity. I think like one of the most powerful things that we can do is bring them into authentic, vulnerable Christianity, you know? And I'm just thinking about young people that we know and how many of them, you know, as believers are just struggling. I mean, they're just wrestling through, what does this moment mean? Where is the world going? And I think the opportunity to actually, you know, hear pain and to walk with them through it, you know, and intentionally say, I don't have it figured out. You know, I need Jesus. We need Jesus together. And to be able to not be, you know, like, you know, whether it's millennials or Gen X, you know, or older, you know, mm-hmm. to not merely have answers. You know, I think there's something powerful about walking in vulnerability and saying, I don't necessarily know, but I know Jesus, and I know that he has wisdom in this moment, and that we need to press in together to learn his heart, what he wants to say, you know. And I think the vulnerability, the authentic reach for him in weakness, I mean, I think it's powerful, you know. And doing that in small community, doing that, you know, I mean, I think there's this massive opportunity we have right now as the church is, you know, rediscovering, redefining. You know, I think about this prophecy from, you know, Bob Jones from Different Generations, speaking about just the changing of the understanding and expression of Christianity. And I think we're in that moment where how we interact with the church, how we're engaging and how we're finding each other and what family looks like and really what the gospel proclaimed, what the gospel lived out looks like. I think we're in an evolutionary moment, and we either become cross-cultural, cross-generational missionaries, and we as older ones adapt to really just the changing world and the changing generation, and intentionally, you know, to what everyone's been saying, just to love them where they're at, but not to leave them there. You know, we want to love them, you know, like where they're at in their pain on, you know, platforms, but then be able to walk with them, you know, just into wholeheartedness, walk with them into truth and into relationship.
Yeah, it's so good. One of the things that you said that I really am glad that you brought it up, I think we should touch on, is authenticity. So I think 50 years ago, you could have a message of truth and people would, you know, often it would resonate with them. But I think that what has happened, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, is the detection meter of the younger people for inauthentic messaging, or even like a bait and switch, like, let me just kind of lure you in so I can tell you that you're doing things wrong or living your life wrong. They're so tuned into that. They're so tuned in because of all the programming and the advertising and the stuff hype that they've grown up with, that they're so aware that if you have any of that, and even if you don't have any of that, but the way that you're coming across sounds like you have that, they will tune that out so fast, like it's instant. So I'd love, Brian, to hear from you. I know authenticity is critically important. How are you communicating that authenticity? How do people relate when they're sensing that it's not an authentic message? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I don't really have an authenticity switch. I just am who I am.
Yeah.
So I think,
yeah, come on.
I mean, if you get with me in person, I'm going to be just as crazy and dumb as I am online. I think, yeah, I don't know. My preaching school, where I learned how to preach, was in gymnasiums in California for 12 years. So you really have no option but to be. I used to have this joke when we talk about like sermons, and they would say, like, what is your style of preaching in schools? I said, well, my style is simple. In prison, I've only heard because I've never been, I don't plan on going, but in prison, my cousins were locked up, and they would say the guy who was the craziest in the cell got the better bunk. And that's always been my method when it's preaching. The craziest dude in the room gets the attention of the room. And so I just, when I communicate, that's what I communicate. And I'm not afraid of questions. I'm not afraid of kids asking whatever they want to ask. If they want to have a genuine conversation,
right?
I think also too, I just don't get offended when someone says something about God,
right,
or the church, or
yeah.
I've just heard. I mean, I've heard a little bit of everything. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Our crew, we just do life. We don't have a life, and then we do a mission. We have a mission that we build our life. Our mission is what center, and our lives just kind of. I mean, we all feed into that.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important. I think what you're talking about is key to the authenticity. Is it's not how do I make sure my message is authentic. Mm-hmm. It's let me make sure that I'm authentic, right? Yeah. The message will be authentic, right? Yeah. Ty, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know you brought it up originally, but how do you make sure? Because it's not just about the leadership, right? It's also about the other people that you're working with and that you're leading. How do you ensure that across everyone, you guys have an authentic message to the people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I appreciate Brian so much. I mean, Brian is the real deal. You know, I mean, there's not much pretense with Brian. And I think, you know, to what you're saying, Chris, I mean, I think that there is such an over-marketed, over-hyped world that we're in. You know, like we're constantly, you know, there's marketing across Facebook, Google. There's lots of clickbait and ads and, you know, I mean, flashy videos. I just don't think that the flashy, you know, and just the pizzazz really pulls at the heart of Gen Z. You know, I think so much of it is we live in a world that is so graphical, so visual, you know,
right.
You know, and I think about even just modern entertainment, you know, the more raw, the more, you know, like, I mean, some of the most popular entertaining things now, like, you know, games and stuff, they've gone back to 2D. They've gone back to you know, Crossy Road, you know, and just, you know, Minecraft is like, you know, it's like 8-bit video. Yeah. And I think the idea that we as the church, as, you know, as missionaries, as preachers of the gospel, that pizzazz will win their hearts, and that, you know, better visuals, better marketing, better YouTube. Yeah. I think just the rawness of who we are and, you know, I mean, with Brian, I mean, Brian's the same on camera as off camera, on TikTok as in life, you know? And I think that as much as there's not this intentionality of I'm going to be authentic now, I mean, I think it really is who you are and not just, you know, putting forth hype in order to try to win hearts, you know?
Yeah, it's a life.
But I think, you know, to what you're saying, Chris, I mean, it's really real. I think this next generation, they have so many options, you know? I mean, they can choose who they follow, who they listen to. And I think that there's just a real sensitivity to this person's real, authentic, you know, versus this is just a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Our life becomes our message.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. The options, you know, when my parents grew up, there was 6 channels on TV. And now every single person has a device that has trillions of hours of content that they can access within 1 second. So that creates an environment where people choose on purpose, you know, what they're going to consume. It doesn't mean that they always make amazing choices, but it means that their choice creates the necessity for you to really have a message that resonates with them and is totally authentic. It's what I love what you guys are doing. Yep. David, I'd love to chat a little bit. I'd love to hear from you on, you know, from Awaken the Dawn, as you've got all of these different, you have all, leaders all over the country and you have things kind of happening all the time. How do you keep all of that messaging, you know, authentic and resonating well with the younger generation? What are you guys doing to make sure that that's resonating with them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the keys in that is, my opinion, to keep it centered on simple things, you know, on Jesus, who is Jesus, and an authentic connection with others. I think that in some ways this is an hour to return to those simple things.
Right.
You know, and I think that's going to win the day. I really do. And so just keeping it plumb lined,
mm-hmm.
those things versus, you know, I think sometimes we just get distracted almost by ourselves, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're in a charismatic church, you do all kinds of stuff, and it's your culture. It's not even the Bible at the time, you know. And sometimes that stuff can become a bit of a stumbling block, unnecessarily, to people. And so I feel like not being afraid to kind of let the religious thing down a little bit and be simple, simple love for Jesus,
yeah,
prayer, gospel proclamation, authentic relationships. I mean, these really simple things, and walking in holiness, for example, you know, yeah. Sermon on the Mount. I think teaching people to live the Sermon on the Mount as a lifestyle, not just our programs or our platforms or whatever it is reaching for. These things are going to change the world, and they're going to change Gen Z. And so I think that one of the keys is keeping a focus.
Yeah.
Right things and working. It takes a lot of work to do that, by the way. It actually is pretty hard to do. It sounds good, but you actually have to be very intentional.
Right.
Keep it focused on the right things, because people are all over the place, and I'm all over the place. And I put it on myself. But if we can proclaim, Paul goes, I preach Christ and Him crucified, you know, and it's about the simplicity of that. It's gonna rock this generation as we engage those simple truths.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's good. So my question is for, you know, all of you guys. You guys can answer this if you want to, but I'm hearing us say, hey, we're connecting, we're finding them where they're at. We're even doing everything that we can do to connect them. But how do we go from them actually wanting to hear what we have to teach? And I know the cliche, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah, great. Got that. But how do you get them to actually get from the connect, from finding them where they are, to actually desiring, wait, you have something to teach me. I need to learn something from you. How do you turn that corner?
Go.
Who do you want to take this one?
Brian.
Brian, go for it.
So let me make sure I understand your question. You're saying what takes someone from following you to then wanting to receive what you're saying?
Yeah.
Man, I think, you know, it's been pretty wild. I got this last year, we connected with some of the underground church leaders in Iran, and they have a method of salvation that has wrecked my life, which all of us would agree with, but yet it's not really something we've walked out. I've been preaching for 12 years, and I've always been this, you know, I bring my story, my testimony, I introduce him to Jesus. You know, I believe, you know, confess with your mouth, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, believe in your heart. But in Iran, what they do is very different. They actually will disciple someone before they are Christians. They'll disciple them. They call it discipleship unto conversion. And so when you look at our Western definition of salvation, we would say that Jesus died, he rose again. And if you believe these things, then you're a Christian. But in the days of Jesus, his disciples technically then weren't saved because Jesus hadn't died yet. And Jesus didn't actually ask them to accept him. He asked them to follow them. And there's a difference in that, because when you accept something or you accept the person, it's this momentary transaction. But following somebody is not momentary. It's every single day. And so the way I've looked at my content or what we put out is we have this method now that we see TikTok as discipling unto conversion. I'll give you a story. There was a girl that DM'd me on Instagram maybe 3 weeks ago. I showed my wife. I'm like, you got to see this. This is crazy. This girl writes and says, hey, I got saved in September of last year watching your videos on TikTok. She goes, but then I made a real decision in December to repent of my sin. So it's this, she chose to follow Jesus, but was still working it out. It was discipleship unto conversion. This girl was watching every video we're putting out. She says, last month you baptized me via Zoom, and now I attend Zoom Bible studies every week with you guys. Thank you. Gen Zer, I believe the model of Gen Z isn't necessarily going to be these elaborate big speeches or the kind of crusades that we used to do for many decades. I believe content that we put out is discipleship under conversion. and they'll believe a face and a voice that's constantly before them. Media, news understands that. That's why they push their agendas and their narratives, even if their narratives are the most stupidest things you've ever heard of. Stuff that makes no logical sense, people will believe it because their voice is the most prevalent, their voice is the most heard, and their voice is consistent.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. That is spot on. I think that one of the challenges that people have is I think they get distracted with all the little things. They get distracted with all the little theological debates and little points. And actually, I'm not saying those things aren't important at all. But I feel like when Jesus came, his message was very simple. And it was very pure because of its simplicity. And I think the Pharisees struggled with that because they had a lot of complexity that they had kind of built their world around. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing, what I think I'm hearing you say is we need to not dismiss the importance, the theological importance of things, but our messaging needs to be, we need to go back to a simpler message so that people can hear. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair way to say what you're, to reflect what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to know what theological debates people are having. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's nothing I really see different in people that are Baptists and people that believe in the Spirit movement. This is just me personally. I think I just find a value in everybody.
Yeah.
You know, look at Ty. This guy's burdened for prayer. I need that more in my life, 100%. I look at David and his faith for to see tents filled. I need that more in my life. Now, there might be theological differences we have in certain topics, but
right.
I mean, it's not like we don't agree Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, he's coming back. And so let's look at name brands for a moment. You look at like sneaker culture and shoe culture. You look at Lil Nas, okay? This guy just came out with this demonic shoe, you know, human blood. Everyone heard about it, we made a big deal. No one was preaching righteousness until that shoe came out. So stupid, you know, but you look at this guy, what made that shoe powerful? It was a collaboration of his brand. And I mean, it wasn't Nike, wasn't really in it, but it was this collab.
Yeah.
The world in Gen Z understands that collaboration is the only way.
Yeah.
And I think that when you look at guys like David, who's now, man, they've embraced that fully. I mean, even for him allowing us to come and not just, hey, we're going to let you come and hang out and you sit in the front row and say, no, we want you to communicate. Like there's a level of collaboration that we so need each other. But I feel like it goes even past denominational barriers. I need in ways these dudes, these Baptist dudes that may hit heavy on the word. Yeah. I need dudes that walk more in dreams and they're going to encounter God in that way of hearing the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you. I don't see much theological debates when it comes to unsaved Gen Z. You might get a couple people that were just raised to think something and they got a mom or dad in their ear. I got one dude that trolls me on everything I post. He's literally this old guy with an eye patch. I'm not kidding. And everything I post, he's always posting, not of God, not real. I don't even respond. I'm like, this guy just needs a friend. You know, like this guy's just lonely or something. But I look at this and I'm just like, if we could posture our hearts like that and not be offended,
yeah,
we just keep trucking. I mean, I don't know this guy's story. He might have been really hurt by a guy in the church. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love the pureness and the simplicity and the authenticity of what you're saying. We're going to transition here in just a minute. But before we do, I'd love to hear from each of you guys, just like 30 seconds on the message that Gen Z needs to hear right now. And this is more of a call to the rest of the church and say, hey, this is the message that they need to hear. You guys are in it. Like Brian, you're in it. You know what they're calling out for. But not everybody is really aware of that. So what's the message they need to hear? Ty, let's start with you. What is Gen Z looking for right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've been just stirred afresh with Chosen. You know, it's this TV series. And probably the thing I love the most about this, you know, what Dallas Jenkins has developed is it just shows both the humanity of Jesus. And yet he's, I mean, there's this phrase in this last episode that says, I am who I am. And I think there's something so powerful with the gospel lived out. You know, I think more than a message, I think what we need are real believers who are genuinely burning for Jesus and their lives lived out in a way that it can be experienced and seen. And I think there's what can be taught, but I think there's something so powerful of what can be caught, you know? And, you know, when I watch this series, I see just the reality of Jesus living out the gospel in front of broken guys who are, you know, just trying to figure out who he is. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And I think, you know, the be with factor, you know, the reality of inviting ones to come into your life, into your family, into your journey and walking with them, you know, and really modeling what does it look like, you know, to actually pursue Jesus, reach for him. What does it look like to deal with your struggle and your brokenness? What does it look like to deal with conflict in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, with each other, you know? And I think just the reality of bringing people into your life, into your story, into your pain, you know, and not have everything figured out perfect, you know, and trying to put forward this, you know, gospel that if you trust Jesus, everything works out great, you know. It's like we trust Jesus, but we have real pain and we have real struggle, but we trust that he's enough and we trust that he's the one that meets us in our place of weakness, and he wants more. He desires both all of who we are and wants to take us further, you know, and deeper into his heart and make something beautiful of our lives that are pretty weak and broken, you know? Yeah. And so I think, you know, for me, it's the gospel lived out. It's living, you know, an authentic gospel in weakness, pursuing Jesus, you know, doing the consecrated life together, doing the shared life together, and then doing the poured out life together. You know, it's having an unbifurcated life where, you know, you're living an integrated gospel in the home, outside the home, in ministry, with people, you know. And I think that is more powerful than anything, you know, is being able to see, you know, a life that has been transformed by Jesus, but still walking out your salvation, knowing that you're not a complete work.
Yeah, it's so good. Brian, what's the message Gen Z is searching for right now?
Everything Ty said. I watched The Chosen this morning, the new one, and this line, I love this line that the guy playing Jesus says. He goes, from those who follow me, I don't expect much.
Come on.
From those who do, I expect everything. And so I think that's the message. We got to stop expecting a lot from people that don't follow or know Jesus.
Yeah.
And we got to raise the bar on those who do.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
We definitely need to raise the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, gosh, that's so good, man. You guys, I appreciate this so much. This is such a critically important message. I'd love to tie this into the conferences coming up, the movement. David, I know I am getting a message that your phone might be about to die. So I'd love to go to you first and make sure we get as much as we can before your phone dies. Tie this topic in, Revival, Gen Z, and the movement conferences coming up really soon.
Yeah, well, everybody on this call will be together, and it's about a week and a half now.
Yeah, come on, week and a half.
Come on.
We have this 3,000-person circus tent, and we're going to set it up for the first time here and come together. And really, the heart is a couple of things. One is just to sing and pray and declare and share the real Jesus. And
yes, come on.
A millennial, what? Come and set your eyes above all the rest of the mess right now. Mm-hmm. And get out of the whirlwind of crazy elections and pandemics and just everybody, what's going on? We just want to come together across all these different groups and say, you know what? We're going to get our eyes up and we're going to sing and celebrate and declare and encounter Jesus as he is. I think that's the most critical message to Gen Z. And just like, and so, yeah, we're going to be together, Brian and the crew, One Voice, and Gen Z for Jesus, Ty Lamb, Luke 18. We're just all coming together right here outside of D.C. in Fredericksburg, Virginia, under this tent, and we're gonna, it's worship, it's prayer, it's encountering God, it's family, it's coming together. You know, I feel like this festival culture, pre-COVID, festival culture was exploding with Gen Z and with millennials, and just seeing like this desire, number one, to be together.
Yeah.
The sense of belonging and connectedness. Number two, spiritual experience, you know, and then number three, justice. That's why people do big festival cultures blowing up. They're finding spiritual experiences that are musical. There's some kind of justice movement, and they want belonging and connection. Well, that all belongs to Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And what we want to do under this tent is go city to city across America and invite people into that. But we're launching here from Virginia for the Movement Conference. And so all the guys on this call will be there, Upper Room, and just many, many others. And we just want to get our eyes off of everything else and put Jesus at the center and just watch what he will do as we come together for those 3 days. So that's coming up next week now, April 15th.
It's coming up fast. And one of the things that we're so excited about is we're actually partnering with you guys, and we're going to deliver a fully amazing digital experience. This is not like a Zoom call with a camera in the back, because it's so important to come together. We want everybody to come to Virginia and be in the tent, but the problem is not everybody can do that, but there's 7 billion people that need to be there. So
100%.
So we also have this incredible digital experience. You definitely, if you can't make it to Virginia, you need to sign up for that. It's only $14 for the full event, and it's fully interactive. We've got 7 cameras that we're going to be shooting with. We've got all kinds of interviews and everything. It's going to be really incredible. So there's no reason to not connect with this. Even if you can't be there, there's absolutely no reason. Brian, I'd love to come to you real quick. David. David's got something to say.
I just want to say, I think this is I really believe that there's like the Lord is summoning us together right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
I never want to hype up a gathering, because that just, like everything we said earlier, it can feel, well, it's like bait and switch. But so much has been happening these past few weeks. Mm. God has been meeting us in ways I haven't seen in years.
Yeah. Come on.
4 weeks. All as we're kind of leaning in together. I just want to say there's a divine, and that is not just in person, but one of the reasons we're partnered with Chris and Scott and the crew here is because we believe via technology we could call maybe hundreds of thousands of people together around this reality of the real Jesus.
Yeah. And what
the Holy Spirit's doing right now, because the Jesus movement, God's move, is not canceled. COVID and all the craziness of last year is actually thrusting us forward.
That's
right.
It's not pushing us back. Yeah. And so I think it's a critical moment. I believe, I submit this, I say this, you know, sincerely, hopefully humbly, but I think there's a divine summons going on. I think God's inviting us to come together right now and dream with him and set our eyes on him and cry out to him. And then there's also going to be teaching on who Jesus is and what he's doing right now in this generation. And I think it's critical. I think so. Invite your friends. If you can do the online, I just wanted to like high five you guys right now, just for what you're doing with this online experience. It's so much more than a live stream. It's an opportunity to connect. That's the key. It's not watch a preacher in a tent. It's all kinds of chat rooms and interactive environments and content and interviews, because we want people to connect with each other and connect with Jesus right now, so we can move forward into the rest of 2021 with faith, because Jesus is moving right now. We want to launch out of this into whole new lifestyles of operating with what he's doing, because, man, he is moving in this generation in unbelievable ways. This really is a revival generation. I mean, it's not like to say that. God's hand is on them, and 1 billion people are going to come to Jesus, you know, all over
the earth. Come on.
We just want to be a part of it. And so this gathering is like to say, let's set our eyes on Jesus, you know, cut the hype, and watch what he can do, and also connect with each other. So I just wanted not to interrupt.
I love that. No, I love that. David,
what you're doing is so much bigger than a live stream to try to, you know, get people to tune in, to build a media platform. This is about connection.
It's
about Jesus doing. We need each other. We need to shift our thinking right now.
Yeah. Out
of the whirlwind of the craziness of what the world's shouting at us, and start to sync up with what Jesus is doing, because
he's
incredible things in this generation.
Come on. I, that is spot on. We got just a couple of minutes left, Brian. as someone that is literally doing this all the time through TikTok and Instagram and the other platforms, making those connections, and you're going to be at the Movement Conference and Ty is going to be there too. But what is your, as we're wrapping this up, what's your message to people as they're maybe hearing this and wondering, well, should I do that? I don't know. Can I really connect? Cause I can't go to Virginia. What's your message to them?
Yeah. I mean, jump on. I don't know. Jump on. And yeah, I think the days where, you know, conferences were $1,000 and I think it's just right. Leave you on. You know, you're going to be on your phone anyways. Jump on and hear.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And don't miss those moments. Moments really do launch movements.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. Well, you guys, we are out of time, but you know, David, Brian, Ty, really appreciate you guys spending some time with us. I'm super, super excited about what's coming up in a very short amount of time. So definitely you guys, if you're listening to this, you want to absolutely register, click on the link. You definitely, as Brian just said, jump on. Like, you're going to be on your phone anyway. Just get on there. $14 for a full 2.5 day conference with all of the content and the replay. I can't even believe how good of a deal that is. So there's really no excuse, and it's going to be a great experience. The message and the worship is going to be fantastic. So we're really looking forward to it. You guys, thank you so much for pouring into this. We will see you guys in literally just a few days. So we'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.